Be seated. Turn with me again this morning to the book of Romans. We are still in chapter 6 of the book of Romans, and today we'll be looking at preaching from Romans chapter number 6, verses 12 through 23. Reminding us again, this is the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of Almighty God. It is, thus saith the Lord. He wants us to hear it, understand it, believe it, and live it out in our lives. If you would prefer to stand with me for the reading of the word, I invite you to do that. And I'll begin reading in chapter 6, verse number 12, through the end of the chapter, which is verse number 23. Then let us hear the word of God, Romans 6, beginning at verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, according to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. You may be seated. Well, in this particular section in the book of Romans, there are a lot of therefores. That's the first word in chapter 6, verse 12. And we know when there is a therefore, what's going to follow has to do, the reason it's following is because of what has gone before it. And in chapter 6, there's also a therefore in verse 4, even backing up to chapter 5, the very first word in chapter 5 is therefore. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's another therefore in chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as though one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And then in chapter 6, verse 4, therefore, having been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. And then the word therefore in verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Now, this section follows off of verse 11 of chapter 6, and that's where we concluded last week. And that verse says, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And so that was the title last Sunday's sermon, Dead to Sin, but Alive to God. Well, the title of the sermon today comes to us in a couple of different places in this section, verse 18, slaves of righteousness, and verse 19, again, the wording slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. And so this is what I call the reality of the Christian life here on earth. We are to be slaves to righteousness. We are to be living out the new life in Christ. That's another term that would describe or cause us to focus in on what this section is all about. And in chapter 6, verse number 19, and again, verse 22, we see the words sanctification. And so that's the reality of the Christian life on earth. And so this new life in Christ begins when we are born again. That's where the change begins to take place. And so from that moment until we die or Christ comes again, whichever one of those is going to be true of us, from the time we're born again until we die or Christ comes again, we are in this section of our salvation identified as sanctification or living out the new life in Christ. And we know that takes time to do that. Now, when I picture in my mind this thing we call spiritual growth, and that's our part of our vision, as you know, our vision is to glorify God by growing spiritually and numerically. Well, this section of our salvation called sanctification has to do with us growing and developing spiritually in Christ Jesus, growing and developing in this new life in Christ, growing and developing in our understanding of the truth of God's word, the knowledge of the truth of God's word, and by his grace and spirit, putting that into practice as we live daily. In other words, obeying him. Well, that's what this section is all about. And when I think of sanctification, I think we can picture it well if we have a picture of a ladder in front of us. And I'm not one that really likes heights, but nonetheless, I think it will picture for us what this thing of sanctification is all about. And when we're born again, we're at the bottom rung and we're still on the ground. And as we begin to grow and develop in Christ, we move up to that first step. As we continue to grow and develop in Christ, we up another step and up another step and up another step until we finally get to the top. And when we get to the top is when we are absent from the body and present with the Lord, or he comes again and receives us unto himself. Our sanctification process at that point is complete, and we move from the sanctification part of our salvation into our glorified phase, our final phase of our salvation. And now we need to understand, too, that everyone is not on the same rung or the same step. Some may be nearer the top, others nearer the bottom. And that, too, is by God's grace and providential design. We don't all grow at the same rate. And it's like when we're born into the world, we're little babies, and we have to be cared for. Someone has to feed us and bathe us and clothe us and change us and all of that stuff. But we don't stay there, do we? Eventually, we go from being babies to toddlers, and then to step above that, and then to the teenage years, and then to the young adult years, and then to the middle age years, and older. But it takes time, and there's a process involved to move us from one of those places to the other. And so it is with growing spiritually. We don't go from the time we're born again to being mature in Christ overnight. There's time and process involved to make us more mature in Christ than when we first begin. And again, God says to us in Philippians 1:6 that he will bring to completion what he's begun in us. So one day, our salvation will be complete. The Lord's going to see to it. But it's not going to happen while we live on this earth. We're still in process. We're still in the sanctification stage. Well, let's notice, go back to the book and notice what's in some of these verses. Verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. And so when we're born again, our old sinful nature has not been eradicated. It's still there with us, and it shows itself, at least mine does, far more than I like to admit. It wakes up every morning and gets up every morning at the same time I do. I was reminded of that one year in the church pastored in Florida, and received a phone call in the wee hours of the morning, and it woke me up. And when I answered the phone, it was kind of like this, hello, as if to say, what in the world are you doing calling me at this hour of the morning? And a sweet little lady on the other end of the phone and apologized for waking me up, but saying we've had a death in our family and we're going to have to go to South Carolina and we won't be in church Sunday, and I just want to let you know that. Well, boy, I'm telling you, you talk about getting humble. I got humble real quick and even apologized to her in front of the whole congregation. But gave them the illustration. Our sinful nature is still with us. And when we wake up, it wakes up. And we have to deal with that in this life as long as we live in this world. Well, at the same time, we're not to let sin reign in our mortal body that we should obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments to unrighteousness, which, by the way, is going to be the temptation of the flesh and the temptation of the world and the temptation of the devil. All three of them want us to go in that direction, even as Christians. But it goes on to say, present yourself to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Verse 14, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And when we're born again of the Spirit of God, sin is no longer our master. Now, it was our master while we were still lost and dead in trespasses and sins. And all of our thinking, all of our motives, everything was because sin was our master. But now, when we're born again, the Lord Jesus Christ has become our master. And we are to submit ourselves to him, and we are to follow him. We are to obey him. We are to listen to him. We're to learn of him and not be slaves any longer to sin, because we now have new life in Christ. Let's go back for just a moment to Romans chapter 2. And this is a good reminder of the change that takes place when we're born again. Romans chapter 2, the last two verses. And he's been and continues, the Apostle Paul does, as God inspired him to write the book, to talk a lot about Jews and Gentiles. And here he's saying, verse 28 and 29, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God." So our hearts are circumcised by the Holy Spirit when we're born again. That's what being born again is all about. That's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus in John 3. You must be born from above. You must be born again by the Spirit of God. And again, that's when the change begins to take place. Moving out from under the master of sin and under the master of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, that newness of life continues as long as we live on this earth. Well, let's look for a moment at verses 15 through 19. "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace?" And again, the answer is, may it never be. He brought that question up earlier, and the same answer is true. We should not sin that grace should abound. In fact, we should do everything within our power to avoid sinning, although we'll never reach that state of perfection in this life. It only comes in our glorified state. Well, verse 16, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness?" And so when we were slaves to sin, lost and dead in our trespasses and sins, all that brought about was death. And but once we're born again, we're to be slaves to obedience resulting in righteousness. Verse 17, "But thanks be to God that though you were," I like that past tense word, "though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed." So there was a time when we were slaves of sin, but now we are and have become slaves to or slaves of righteousness. God has brought that change about in us when he caused us to be born again. For an example of that, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I know we've looked at this passage before, but we need to look at it again and apply it here to the changed life, the new life in Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God." And I'm here to tell you that message needs to be preached throughout the land, because there's a lot of all of that going on in our culture. And they want to, those who believe and live that way, want to put those ideas and that type of behavior on all the rest of us. They think that's the way to go. But God says clearly, you continue in that, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then verse 11, look at that, what that says. "And such," here's that past tense word again, "and such were some of you." Some of the people in Corinth lived those sinful things out in their life before they came to know Christ. So those who live that way, it's not impossible for them to be saved. Even those sins can be forgiven by the grace and shed blood of Christ. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God. And he tells them, at one time, that's the way you live. But now, since you've been born again, something new has taken place and something else is going on. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And this chapter, all the way down through verse 17, has a lot to say about us concerning our old nature and our new nature, the old way of doing things and the new way of doing things in Christ. Now, I'll begin with verse 1, if then you have been raised up with Christ, and by the way, that earlier portion of chapter 6 told us that we died with Christ, we were buried with Christ, we were raised again from the dead in Christ. We identified with him in the new life, just like we identified with Adam in the sinful life. So if we have been raised up with Christ, tells us, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now here's that therefore again. In light of that, he says, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. They take us back to that old nature again, our lostness and deadness in sin. That's the way we live. That's the way we thought. That's what we believed. And that's how we behave. But, he says, we once walked when you were living in them. But now, see, change has come about. You've been born again. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, let me just stop there and say, in one of our seminary courses, we had to, on one sheet of paper, draw out what we saw to be the concepts in one of the books of the Bible, and Colossians was one of those books. And so I don't remember all of what I put in with some of the other chapters, and it all had to be on just one sheet of paper on one side. You couldn't get real lengthy with it. It had to be concise, direct, to the point. But I remember when I came to this section, the picture I drew, and I don't draw very well. So when I draw people, I draw these stick men. They're easy to do. So I had one stick man underground in the grave, and the next one was up from the grave and walking. And that was the picture I got in my mind from this section. We're to consider our members of our earthly body as dead to those things I read about, so we can that are ourself in the ground buried and dead concerning those things. But now here we are to be alive in these things, verse 12 and following. And so those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And so we should consider ourselves dead, our earthly bodies as dead to all those sinful things that we used to do before we were saved, and alive unto God, this new life in Christ, with the things that look really good on us. Another image in my mind was those things that are ugly. I thought about doing this one time in a church. I didn't, but because I figured if I go in looking like that, somebody's going to pick up the phone and call the guys with little white suits, and they're going to come out there and confiscate me and take me away. But I thought about in that section of the things we're to be dead to, the things that make us ugly, all those sinful and immoral things. I thought about coming in my grubbies that I work in the yard in, be all dirty and filthy and my hair all messed up, unshaven, and just looking bad, just really ugly, and preaching that portion of the sermon. And then the next Sunday, come in all spiffied up, wearing a tuxedo, and really looking sharp. And drawing the contrast between the things we're to be dead to and what we're to be alive to. Those things make us look ugly. These things make us look wonderful. And we like to be around people who are loving and patient and kind and gentle and so forth and so on. Well, back to Romans 6. Romans 6. Verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. The change has taken place. We've been born again. Having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. That's where I get the title of today's message. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. God does want us to grow and develop and mature in Christ. We do that by his grace and the work of his Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. We do that by studying and learning what's in his word, believing what's in his word. It's even the Holy Spirit who puts the desire in us to know the word and to put it into practice. To him be the glory for it all. Our salvation from beginning to end is of the Lord. And so he works in our life to continue growing and developing us and moving us up the ladder step by step as time goes on. Well, this concept of sanctification, let me read to us what our Westminster Confession of Faith says about it. By the way, I would encourage you, if you don't yet have your copy, to get one and to do some reading in it. Often, a lot of good stuff in the Westminster Confession of Faith. Here's what it says about sanctification. They who are once effectually called and regenerated, that It's as good as saying born again of the Spirit of God. Having a new heart and a new spirit created in them are further sanctified really and personally through the virtue of Christ's death and resurrection. By his word and spirit dwelling in them, the dominion of the whole body of sin is destroyed, and several lusts thereof are more and more weakened and mortified, and they more and more quickened and strengthened in all saving graces to the practice of true holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. But now the second paragraph gets us back into the reality of the new life in Christ while we live on earth. This sanctification is throughout in the whole man, yet imperfect in this life. There abiding still some remnants of corruption in every part, which arises a continual and irreconcilable war, the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. By the way, that's chapter 7, sermon title next Sunday, the inner conflict, the war within. Brian, is your email address still something about war? Yeah, life is war.
365.
Yeah, life is war, 365. That's every day of the year, right? And so his email address captures Romans 7 and that section in Galatians 5. Lord willing, we'll look at that next week, about the war within, the inner conflict, the flesh against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and the sinful nature pulling us in one direction, and the spirit of the living God pulling us in another. And that goes on, again, as long as we live on this earth. Third paragraph, this is the last one. In which war, although the remaining corruption for a time may much prevail, yet through the continual supply of strength from the sanctifying Spirit of Christ, the regenerate part doth overcome, and so the saints grow in grace, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so the Lord is much at work in us to bring all that to pass while we live our lives in Christ on this earth. Well, let's go back to Romans 6. I'll conclude with these verses. Verse 21 and following. Therefore, there's another therefore. What benefit were you then deriving from the things which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. This is one of the ways that we know we're saved, by this continual spiritual growing and developing that the Lord brings us along the road in or up the ladder in, if you want to look at it that way, by the Holy Spirit, much work in our lives. And he reminds us again in conclusion, the wages of sin is death. And those wages certainly are consequences for sin. And those who are dead in trespasses and sin, the consequence of that, if they die that way, will be death. Even the second death. And there will be eternity for them and the fire of hell forever. But the free gift of God, again, it's free to us. Can't buy it with money. We do not earn it by our good works or obedience. It's given to us. It's a free gift of God, is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. It cost our Lord a great deal. Cost him leaving his home in heaven and taking on the form of a human in the person of Jesus Christ on earth. It cost him by his suffering and dying and sacrificing himself for our sins, how painful and awful that was. It cost him to suffer through the wrath and punishment and judgment of God that we who are his people deserve. We deserve that. But he took it upon himself. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when we have received that gift and know the reality of it, new life in Christ, all sins forgiven, that is a motivating factor for us to live that new life in Christ, to learn all that we can about him and his word and how he wants things to be and go and how he wants us to live and what he wants us to believe. And we give ourselves to that because he is our master. Sin is no longer our master, but our Lord Jesus Christ is. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, again, we give thanks to you for causing us to be born again and for bringing about that change in our life from the sinful life to the new life in Christ. Thank you for all that you teach us about that. We're to put off the old man, put on the new man. We're to consider our bodies dead to those sinful, immoral things, alive to you, the Lord our God, to obey you and to live righteously in this world. And we thank you for the way that you cause us to do that by your grace and Holy Spirit. It all comes from you, and to you be the glory for it all. And so, Lord, again, we just thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, and your forgiveness to us in Christ. All of our sins, as our Sunday school teacher so amply put it this morning, been blotted out. God has blotted them out and sees them no more, holds them against us no more. We are completely, totally forgiven. So, Lord, enable us by your grace and spirit to live that out in this week that is before us, that you might be honored and glorified, and that our lives would be a witness and testimony of your love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Closing hymn this morning, Trinity Hymnal, selection 254, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed. And so let's stand and sing together. 254. Thank you. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you, abide with you, go with you, enabling you to live the new life in Christ. Amen. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. Your email address is right on it. Good to see y'all. Thank you.